This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And today we'll probably talk a little bit about hunting, since we are in the midst of the hunting season, the heart of it, with the deer season, firearm season opening last Saturday. And the show was pre-recorded while I was deer hunting with Jacob. A lot of news has come to light, a lot of things we need to talk about. So, if you're headed out deer hunting and you want to call in, you want to express your opinion, you want to talk about the first day, you know, and you're not going to be in the truck that long, give us a call here, 410-WCBM-680. Now, when you call, you will also be entered into the muzzleloader contest provided by our friends at CVA, CVA.com, Connecticut Valley Arms, who make the wonderful CVA black powder guns that we are going to give away. We have given one away for the month of October, and I'm pretty sure that's been delivered. However, I haven't heard confirmation from the winner. Number two, today we will take more entries for the November contest as well as the December contest. And as I talked about last week, we were going to pull the winner of the November contest today. We will do that next week. I'm not ready to do it. It's simple as that. So we will get you in both November and December if you call in this week. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Our buddy Chris Klaproth is ready to take your call. Write down your phone number. The rules are you call in, name and phone number, go to Chris, and then you go on the air with me. Just say, hi, hey, I'm going deer hunting, have a nice day, I hate your show, you know, that type of stuff. You can do all that, and we'll be more than glad to put you in the contest. That's how that works. So, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680, and look forward to hearing your call. It has been a long, exhaustive week. Not that I'm complaining. I did a lot of deer hunting this week. Spent a lot of hours in the deer stand. If you want me to run it down, I'd be more than glad to. But let's talk to Richard in Westminster first. Good morning, Richard. How are you? Hello, Richard.
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm well. You?
Good. Hey, I'm driving to my deer hunting spot now.
In what county?
Frederick. I'm in Westminster driving 9 miles to Frederick County.
Gotcha.
How's your season going thus far?
My season is going well. A lot of time in the stand. I've only taken one deer this year. That was last Tuesday. Turned out to be a 5-point Sika stag, which is the first branch antlered Sika deer that I have taken in 29 years. So I'm very happy.
Congratulations for that.
Yes, thank you. It's an exciting story. It was exciting to me, let's put it that way.
Absolutely.
So.
Hey, I have a quick question for you. I hunt with a muzzleloader, bow and muzzleloader exclusively, and I really enjoy it. But I'm thinking about going to a deer rifle, and I'm wondering your opinion on the 270 versus 308. Which do you think is a better gun for deer hunting should I decide to go that direction?
Well, having never owned a 308, but I've owned a 270 since I've been 28 years old. So that's been a while. That's over 30 years, and taken probably 50 or 60 deer with that 270, including that Sika deer this year and a 10-point last year and others. I am very highly impressed with the 270. I've taken deer from 15 yards to 435 yards with that deer, with that gun, and the performance has always been top notch. The sick deer I shot last Tuesday went nowhere. I shot that deer at about 70 yards. Never went anywhere. I use a hand load. I use a 140 grain ballistic tip. I think it's a Nosler bullet, but that's only because I've shot in so many rounds that I had a lot of brass, and somebody loaded up a bunch for me. But you can buy that load. You can buy that load. I think Remington provides that load and maybe some others, and that's that 140 grain is more ballistically. The ballistic coefficient is better with the 140 than the factory 130 or 150.
So, what brand gun do you own?
I own a Ruger. I've owned a Ruger. That's the only 270. Actually, I've owned two. One was Kathy's, and had that stock shortened for her. She never shot a deer with it. When Jacob was coming up his first 4 years, he shot four bucks in a row with it from the same stand on opening day, and I presented that gun, his grandmother's gun, to him on his 16th birthday last year.
Wow.
Yeah. So, the 270 for me and my family has been the one. Now, would I like a 308? Yeah, I'd love to have a 308. But the 270 will take any deer in the country.
So a 308 is just a little bit larger of a bullet.
308 caliber. 270 is actually 284 caliber, you can seven millimeter to 284 or something. You know, they all pretty much load the same. But the 270, you know, you can go up and down with it depending on your situation. But I just shoot that 140, and I've loved it for over 30 years. So I can't say enough about it. Read a little bit about Jack O'Connor. I don't know how old you are, but Jack O'Connor used to write for the Outdoor magazines, and that was his gun of choice for all North American game, was the 270.
Okay, now I'm 58. So,
well, you're right in that same era, so.
Yeah, like I said, I really enjoy the muzzleloader.
Yeah.
A couple of downsides to me are like what happened to me my first shot I took this year, and the gun is right on, and I usually one shot, and I'm getting my deer home.
Yeah.
I had a grandstand shot at a doe out the field about, good Lord, it wasn't more than 4 yards. I shot, the deer looked like she was hit, lances high, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to wait a half hour to go out and collect my deer. And I called a friend up to help me look once I started getting frustrated. Found a little bit of white hair where she was standing. Of course, pretty much all the hair on the deer looks white once it's out. You know, the tips might be a little brown, but to me, I can't imagine having missed that deer or belly shot that deer, but it could never find that deer, couldn't find that one drop of blood, and I still to this day cannot understand it.
I think, the deer you said looked like it was hit. I think you may have put it right through the back strap. Not hit anything, not hit a nerve, not hit a blood vessel. Just poked a hole right through the meat in that deer, and that's the dead zone, so to speak. There's very little blood loss. It could have also been a leg hit if you had white hair. You know, you could have poked a hole right through the a low leg, and that can lead to the same type of thing. Very little blood, if any.
The fact that it was such an easy shot and such close range is inexplicable to me.
You already had the deer in the freezer before you had the deer on the ground.
You know what? I was thinking of that, too, because, you know, like they say, when the football player misses the ball, he's already starting to run with it before he catches it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he misses the easy pass or something like that. That's the only thing I can think. How did I miss this deer? And then on Thursday morning, I'm not going to take up all the show, but on Thursday morning, I'm eating meat at this point, and normally I let the smaller bags bumps pass, but here came I just saw, like, times in antlers. I wasn't judging size at that point. And, you know, it was low light. It was about 6:40 in the morning. It had just really gotten the shooting light, and it was a much more difficult shot to me, one, because it was hurting, two, because it was lower light, and I shot that deer right 90 yards, fell over dead, and there's a hole right through, you know, front of the
Yeah, right where we wanted to be, right.
you know, so it's like, okay, that even made me think more. How did I miss that doe? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. We'll call my name later this morning.
All right, Richard. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call.
Enjoy the show, Alan. Good luck.
See you, buddy. Thanks. All right, let's talk to Matt in Ellicott City, then Paul in Severn, then Chuck in Hampstead. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
How you doing, Mr. Allen?
I'm well. What's up?
Oh, not much. Heading out to Howard County to a little place we have, and going to try and bow hunt.
Oh, okay.
Heard it say.
All right.
So I just want to wish everybody luck, and this is a Front 36 calling in, too.
Okay. Now. Yeah.
So.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Take care and good luck to you.
Yeah, man. Good luck.
Bye bye. There he goes. Paul in Severn. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Hey, Alan. I'm good. How are you today?
Well, how can I help you?
I wanted to get into the muzzleloader contest, and I called you 2 weeks ago and told you about my brother's boys.
Yeah.
He got a 13 or 12 points last Saturday.
Wow.
His youngest son went out. This past Saturday, and he got a 3 point. So his three boys all got deers this year. That's the first time going out.
Nice, nice, nice. Yeah. Well, hey, look, if they want to get any photos published in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, send them on to me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, and make sure I have parental permission to run the photos. And just, you know, it just can be a simple, I give you permission to run my son's photos in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. And I'm their dad, or, you know, whatever. So we'll be more than glad to do that.
Right. That's what you told me last time, and you wanted the little write-up maybe from the one that shot the 12-point.
Yep, love to have it.
Yep, so that's what I'm going to get them to do.
All right. Thank you, buddy. You have a great day today.
All right, you too. Thanks.
See ya. Bye-bye. There goes Paul in Severn and our buddy Chuck in Hampstead. Hey, Chuck, how are you? Hello, Chuck. Hello? Call back, Chuck. I guess Chuck will have to call back. I don't know what happened. He probably went through a no-phone zone up there in Frederick County. So, wow. That was quite a succession of calls. Jacob and I started out last Saturday morning, before daylight in the stand. And I said, got him in the stand and got all the guns in the pre-dawn darkness and said, all right, I'm going to go over here and put a scent tag out. So I went and put out some deer scent. And I was 30 and 40 yards from the stand, came back to the stand, and he said, a doe just walked by. I said, you mean when I was out there, a doe walked through our set here? He said, yeah, about 25 yards. I said, okay, well, that's good. We couldn't shoot it, of course, and we're not going to at that point. It's not even daylight, not even legal shooting time. So that was that. Came back in, sat in the stand. Jacob saw another doe. About 8 o'clock, he said, I'm going up to the other stand. I said, be careful. He's 17. He's responsible. He's good enough to get in his, you know, and hunt without me now, because we were sitting in the same stand. Same stand we sat in for first day for, you know, 4 years, this is our sixth year hunting together. So Jake, he took off for the other stand, texted me, said he saw a doe run my way. I never saw it. It didn't come anywhere close to me. It cut off before it got to me, and that was that. Lunchtime, had a little sandwich with our host. Got back. He says, I'm going back to stand. Where are you going? I'm going to ladder. Okay. So he goes to the ladder stand, and there's other hunters in the woods. And I said, okay, Lord, it's 10 till 5 here. I haven't seen a deer all day. How about blessing one of your children? And, you know, I said, all I want to do is see the show. So here comes. Through the laurel, here comes two deer, buck and a doe. Boom! Through the laurel they go. They're moving. They're trotting the whole time, moving. I can't get a good look at the buck. I know it has a yellow rack, and it doesn't look big enough, but who knows? It could have been. So the doe goes by. The buck stops behind a holly tree, and I never saw him again for a while. The doe turns around and comes back out and goes the way she came. Okay, he should follow. He didn't. Now two does go back the other way, running as fast as they possibly can run. And I think what happened was one of the other hunters came out of the stand and bumped them. Running and running and running, and off they went, ran out of my life. I'm like, okay. That's interesting. Quieted down. Now it's a little after 5. It's getting towards legal, the end of legal shooting time, which was 5:12. I said, okay. I keep looking at the watch. 8 minutes left. 6 minutes left. 5 minutes. Hey, there's a deer. 30 yards. I had put out some James Valley full rut doe lure to attract the does. There's a doe with her nose up against the doe lure, okay? And she's sniffing it. She's chewing the branch, and I'm like, I'm liking this, okay? So out walks the yellow rack buck, but it's too dark to tell how big he was. Now, people would have said, well, why didn't you just shoot? Why didn't you shoot the buck? Why didn't you shoot the doe? Easy chip shot. Not what I'm looking for. Just not what I'm looking for. Without being able to tell the size of that rack. And, you know, it's yellow, but it doesn't look that big. It was cool looking. I'm not shooting that deer. And I can see the deer through the binoculars, but, you know, it's late. It's done. It's dark. It's past legal shooting time. I've got two deer, 25 and 30 yards, buck and a doe. And I'm just watching. Now the show gets very interesting. Third deer showed up. This deer is bigger by percentages. I don't know. This deer's a mature buck. He's big. He's thick. He's wide. He's long. He's got big tines. I can't tell how many points. And he's at 20 yards. And it's 5:18. He walked across the trail. He sniffed one of the scent tags that I had out. He walked through our set, and away he went, and he was safe. Now, somebody would say, well, you could see him. You could put the gun on him. You could put the scope on him. Why didn't you shoot him? Well, there's two reasons. Number one, that wouldn't have been ethical because he was at a disadvantage. The season for that day was over. Number two, my grandson was sitting in a ladder stand 300 yards away. He was enjoying his own show. If I would have shot 5 minutes past legal shooting time, what kind of life lesson would that be? You can break the rules. We've never broken the rules. We've never shot past legal shooting time. We've never shot before legal shooting time. It's a hard and fast rule. When it's done, it's done. And when we can get down safely, we do. So that's the story for the first day. Let's talk to Chuck in Frederick County. Good morning, Chuck. How are you?
Good morning. I don't know what was wrong. I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me.
I had no idea. So what's up, buddy?
Hey, about that guy that called you about the 270 versus the 308.
Yeah.
I've used the 270 since I was 16. I'm in my 60s now. Used the same one and killed plenty of deer.
Oh, yeah. The 270, just it's a spectacular gun, you know, and it's mild shooting. You know, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't jack your scope up. You know, I've had the same scope on since I was 28 years old and, still working just fine. So,
I mean, I used it when I was in high school on my grandfather's farm, taking woodchucks at, 250 yards.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, you know, you can shoot whatever you want to shoot with it. It's an easy gun to shoot. I love my Ruger and, it was in the stand with me every day I hunted this year. So.
Mine's old. It's a Ted Williams.
A Ted Williams, a Sears gun.
Right.
Yep. How about that?
Right.
Yeah, I think we. Well, I bought that at Davidson's Army Navy discount store up in Oakland. My dad brought back a Mauser 30 Mauser broom handle and a case from World War II. And I traded that. He said, "It's your gun." I said, "Okay, I can't hunt with it. I can't do anything with it. It didn't have any meaning to me." Probably worth a lot more now than the 270 ever will be, except that I've got, you know, 100 notches in the stock. But I traded that gun on a 100 or 125th anniversary Smith & Wesson 44 in a case with the book, the whole deal. So took that gun to Davidson, and I said, what can I get for this? He said, what do you want? And I said, I want a deer rifle. I got a Ruger 270. I got a Leopold 3-9 scope. I got a strap, and I got a case for that gun. So that was the best deal I ever made in my life. My dad's broom handle turned into a deer hunting rifle that you know, the broom handle that I would never shoot and just look at turned into a deer rifle that I've utilized as a, as my number one deer hunting tool throughout the throughout almost 30 years. So very happy.
I'm not using it this year, though. I'm using my 25 WSSM.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
I needed some. I was going to use it last year, but you only had a few rounds, and I couldn't find them anywhere.
Right.
So Bob reloaded some for me this year, so I'm using them.
Well, there you go. Good for you. Good luck with that.
Yeah, well, I've gotten the deer with it before, and then I also got one last Saturday with it. So
good. Yep.
Looking. But, I mean, last Saturday, I could have easily been with a bow. I shot it at 38 yards.
Wow.
Well, it came on the property right below me in the food plot, and it didn't leave the property. So,
it didn't leave the property till you took it off the property.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, brother. Appreciate the call.
All right. I'll talk to you again later.
You got it. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And now Natalie and Severn, and then we'll take a break. Good morning, Natalie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well. What's up?
Same old thing. Working with my dad, like always, listening to your show.
Yep, I appreciate that. So, what's your dad do? What do you guys do?
We put out signs.
Oh, the signs, that's right. The sign bandit, that's right. You told me that.
Yep.
Yep. Well, good.
I had a funny story I wanted to tell you.
All right, go right ahead.
When I went out for my first time hunting with my dad, actually, I don't think it was a junior hunt. I went out with my uncle for the junior hunt.
Yeah.
It was my first time out with my dad. I had there wasn't a safety on the gun I was using. I had to half cock it.
And yeah.
I almost shot my dad in the foot, and it was the funniest thing I've ever.
I don't think that's funny at all.
I know it's not funny, but I was crying, and I was like, Dad, I don't want to do it. I don't want to. I handed him the gun, you know, and was like, No, I don't want to do it. I don't. And of course, my father hands it right back to me and says, Now put it on and let's go. And sure enough, we went out there and we hunted all day, and it was the best day ever.
No, that's great. Glad to hear it. Yeah. So the gun never actually went off.
No, it did.
Oh, it did.
It did go off. I had it pointed down at the ground, and where my dad was standing, it was probably about like a foot and a half away from where his foot was on the ground.
Wow.
Yeah. So
somebody was watching out for you guys, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, but my dad was not gonna let me walk away at all. No,
yep.
No way, no how. He told me I had to do it and get
her done.
Get the half cocked and get it going, you know. We had to get back out there and hunt. He wasn't gonna let me quit.
Yep. All right. Well, Natalie, thanks. I appreciate the call.
Yep. Thank you, Alan. You have a good day.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, you know what? It's Winter Gunderland. Yep, Gunderland is a wonderland of deals. Rebates on Browning rifles and shotguns up to $100. Started already November 23rd, runs till the end of December the 31st. Winter Gunderland is better than an ordinary Black Friday deal. In fact, it's all about getting the best deals of the year from Browning. Rebates like never before. Save big. $100 rebates on shotguns. Any shotgun you purchase from Clyde Sports Shop. That includes all the BPS pump. That includes the A5. That includes the Gold Light 10-gauge. All of them, $100 rebate. $75 rebate on the X-Bolt rifles. $50 rebates on AB3 and 1911 22 pistols. $25 rebates on Buckmark pistols. So, it's valid for consumer purchase of a new eligible firearms purchased between November 23rd, which is passed, and December 31st at Clyde Sports Shop. Deals on Browning Guns, rebates, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9, 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108. Hey, you know JB Farms is Carroll County's newest deer processor located in Taneytown. JB Farms will skin and custom cut, wrap, and freeze your deer. They can make your venison into tasty bologna, sausage, or hot dogs. And JB Farms is an FHFH participating donation processor. JB Farms can handle all wild game, from game birds to exotics to big game, and JB Farms can supply you with all natural grass-fed beef, lambs, goats, chickens, rabbits, or ducks, and even free-range chicken eggs. Stop by for your free-range chicken eggs. Now look, here's the Alan Ellis Outdoorsman special. You tell them, you heard about it on the radio show here, you take your deer in, you get $10 off your processing. $10 off your processing. So call JB Farms to have your deer processed. 410-756-5656. Pretty easy to remember. 756-5656. JB Farms, located at 3523 Harney Road, just outside Taneytown. That's in Maryland, Carroll County. Call Joe at 410-756-5656 and mention $10 off your entire deer processing purchase. Attention gun owners, hunters, and shooters. Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom. Easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing. 240-347-4906. Above precision, beyond accurate. And while you're at Hafer's Gunsmithing, see a redneck blind on display. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck Blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blinds, and hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blinds website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yes! Here comes Amos! Now Amos Moses was a Cajun. He lived by himself in the swamp. They hunted alligator for living. It just knock him in the head with a stomp. The Louisiana law gon' get you, Amos. It ain't legal hunting
swamp boy. Now everybody blamed his old man for making him mean as a snake. When Amos Moses was a boy, his daddy would use him for alligator bait. Tie a rope around his waist and throw him in the swamp.
There we go. Little Amos Moses to get you fired up there this morning. Let's talk Tom in Rushtown. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Morning, Al. How are you?
I'm well. What's going on?
Congratulations on your buck.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I'll tell that story in just a moment if anybody wants to hear it. So.
Yeah, I'm listening to hear it.
All right, good.
I just got it's probably a stupid question. I'm not a hunter, but over the last month or so, I've heard you talk about sick of deer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you shot, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. Yep.
What's the difference between a sick of deer and a whitetail?
A totally different species. Sick of deer came from Japan. They were imported here early in the last century, 1916, 1926. They were released on Jane's Island. They were, you know, they weren't necessarily a good animal to raise for a commercial crop. So they got released on Jane's Island. They got released on Assateague. And they spread out from there. Now they've inhabited the marshes of Dorchester, Wicomico, Worcester, and they're expanding the range, you know, northward, southward, eastward, by some pretty exponential growth. At one time, back in the early 80s, the farmers tried to eliminate them, and the bag limits were high. But it never worked, and now the DNR recognizes them as an economically valuable species for people to encourage people to hunt those areas that are a little less economically advanced than some of the other whitetail areas. So the trophy sick of deer is a 6-point. I did say it's a member of the elk family, or did I not say it was a member of the elk family?
No, you didn't mention that.
Well, it is, and they resemble a tiny elk. They do exhibit elk behavior during the breeding season, which is a month earlier than the whitetails. It occurs during October. The stags will bugle or whistle or scream or whatever you want to call it, but they make these guttural sounds that just send the hair up the back of your neck, especially if they're close. They do rub trees. They wallow in the mud like their American cousins, the Rocky Mountain elk, and you know they fight just like elk and whitetail deer, but they're much smaller than a whitetail. A big one is 80, 90, 100 pounds, and the sporting that 6-point rack, that's the standard right there. Now a state record, the last one and the current one were both 8-point stags, which is a very superior species. They're longer lived than whitetails. They eat anything in the marsh, anything. They're not food specific, but they are susceptible to bait. And that is the way most people hunt them over bait, because they're very nocturnal. They're hard to, their habitat is, you know, you can't see through their habitat because most of them live in the phragmites and spend all their time in the marshes. The only time they're really accessible is during the breeding season, when they'll tend to go to higher ground. They'll tend to go to the hardwoods and so forth to breed. But very exciting hunting them, especially if you're out there in the marsh and you hear multiple stags going off around you and you can't see them and you're trying to wait for them. And, you know, it's a pretty good, pretty challenging event. So,
well, I appreciate the education.
There you go. Yeah, sure. Thanks, buddy.
We'll see you.
Okay, there he goes. So anyway, Monday night, when we were in Queen Anne's County, we met a young lady. Her name is Sam Ricketts. She has a radio show on WCTR in Chestertown called The Senior Class. And we were in Queen Anne's County. We gave a talk to about 60 hunters, primarily me, but Bill Miles came in and filled in a little bit. But we were both there. Robin was there. We talked to these 60 hunters, landowners, about the Hunting Coalition. And Sam said, "I'm very interested in what you're doing." So she said, "Why don't you come be a guest on my radio show," which I did on Monday. And she said, "When we're done, we'll go out to my farm and hunt." I said, "Okay, I'm good with that." So after the show was over, we talked about hunting and animal rights and animal, you know, ethics and things like that. We talked about all that. That was last Monday. You can listen to the podcast, I'm sure, on her show. It's from 1 to 2 on Mondays, called Senior Class. We did the show live, went to her farm and hunted the last, I think, cut and stand at 3, hunted the last couple hours of daylight. Beautiful farm, no deer. That was Monday. Tuesday morning, overcast, forecast and rain in Dorchester County. Said to Robin, I'm going back to the sick of deer farm, and I'm going to hunt. Well, the farm is about 400 acres, marsh and woodlands. A buddy of mine was already there. We had hunted. Oh, I skipped Sunday, didn't I? Let me back up just a little bit. Saturday, we did the whole show in Cecil County. Sunday, Saturday night, we stayed, of course, at Robin's place. Jacob stayed at Robin's. We got up Sunday morning early and we went down to Dorchester County. Sat in the blinds all day. I saw 5 Delmarva fox squirrels and a raccoon. We only hunted a couple hours because I had to get Jacob home. Jacob didn't see anything. However, landowner did take a 4-point, and my buddy's son, who was down, his name is Hunter. Hunter killed a 3-point. So the rule is you're not allowed to take a sick of deer unless it's a branch antlered sick of deer. It's a management thing. Let the spikes grow into more mature deer, and you can take a doe of any size anytime you want. So that's how that works. So we got a 3-point and a 4-point that day. Did the Monday thing. Tuesday, I said to Robin Monday evening, I'm going down to Dorchester and hunt a half a day because I had a meeting in Annapolis, one, and then a meeting after the meeting at Taws with the NRP. So get up, go to Dorchester, go in the driveway, have a cup of coffee. We decide, there's 3 of us in camp now, we decide where we're going to go. So I picked one of the shooting houses called the Graveyard, which is next to the stand that I hunted on Sunday called the Power Line. Okay, that all big setup just to say this. The Graveyard stand has a feeder at about 70 yards. The feeder goes off at 6:30 in the morning, which is just prior to legal shooting time. It's, I think it was 6:32 or something like that, whatever it was. Feeder goes off. And I see movement at the feeder. So I know there's deer on the feeder. So I put the binoculars up, not the gun, the binoculars. And I see that there's a stag and a doe there on the feeder. But I can't tell how big the stag is. Remember, it was overcast and it's just legal shooting time. It's twilight. Can't see the stag. He's moving around. He's back and forth. Stand still a minute. Still can't put branched antlers on him. I don't know, but it looks good. It looks like he's got more mass than that spike that was here. That spike that was here had one antler shorter than the other, so that's not it. This deer has even antlers. I think I see enough bone there to take a shot. Now it's legal shooting time. I cannot see the deer in the scope. I can see the deer in the binoculars. Can't see the deer in the scope. Now I'm nervous. I take the gun down. Set the gun down against the corner. I put the binoculars up. I'm watching the buck, and he's very antsy. And he's back and forth and back and forth. I'm like, oh, my gosh, stand still. The shooting pad falls off the window I'm looking out of and hits the floor. No noise. It was a seat pad, you know, so it's all good. So I put that back on. I put the rifle back up. I can't see the deer in the scope. This goes on for almost 10 minutes. It seemed like it went on for an hour and a half. Finally, the deer steps off the feeder, and he's feeding beside a tree, broadside, put the scope on him. I take the shot. It's still pretty dark. I mean, it's still dusky dusk. There was a muzzle flash. That's how I know. I didn't see what happened to the deer, but there's no deer there except the doe. And the doe looks over, and she kind of wiggles a little bit like she's, you know, jerks her head a little bit like she's sees something she doesn't like. And then she's not facing me. She's her butt's to me. She does the full rump flare. If you've ever seen a pronghorn antelope do a rump flare, well, sick of deer do the same thing. So I got this big white rump flare. And I'm like, okay, well, I got to get ready and get out there and look. I don't want to track this deer if I don't have to, but let's see what happens. So I'm getting my gear on, and I'm not looking at the state. You know, the scene's done now. And I hear splish, splash, splish, splash, splish, splash, splish, splash. So I glance out the window because that means there's a deer moving through the water, through the marsh, and I don't see anything. Well, I was looking over the deer. I had to lower my gaze because the deer was 20 yards coming to me. And the doe stopped 5 yards from me, from the bottom of the stand. And I look at her, I said, "You're safe today." And she turned and walked to the edge of, you know, the edge of the marsh, and she disappeared. Okay, whatever. Walk out to the feeder. There's the deer. He's done. He's perfect shot. I mean, perfect shot. Deer's on the ground. So I reach down to pick him, you know, to grab the antler to drag him out of there. And while I'm bent over, I look into the little pine thicket there. And 5 yards away, there's another doe looking at me. And she's wagging her ears back and forth. Look, we're looking each other in the eye at 5 yards. I said, "I had to shoot you just for being stupid." But I didn't. So grab the deer. Long drag back to the stand. I mean, we're talking greenbrier and marsh and phragmitis and getting her, you know, it was a kind of a circuitous path back there because not much dry ground, but we kept him dry, dragged him back to the stand. Of course, now the text is going, "Did you shoot? What'd you get?" Blah, pictures are going out, that type of thing. Gets the deer back to the stand. My stuff's still up in the stand, so I climb the little ladder up to the stand and I look out the window. And there's three does on the feeder. Well, my buddy comes. We get the deer out on the ATV, and it was, you know, but it was a great story. I think it was. So that was Tuesday. Wednesday didn't hunt. I actually worked one day this week. Thursday back up to Cecil County, 11 hours in the stand, no deer. Friday afternoon, Montgomery County in the ladder stand with Laura from about 2 o'clock till dark. Doe ran under the stand. Laura never picked the gun up. Doe went on by. Another doe came out to the edge of the stand, 20 yards, turned around, went back out in the field, sniffed something out in the field, took off the other way. That was about 4 o'clock. 5 o'clock, 7 deer came out of the corner, 150 yards away, couldn't tell what any of them were. It got dark. That was our day. So hunted every day but Wednesday this week. I'm tired. Charles in Severna Park, thanks for waiting. How you doing?
Pretty good. About 2 weeks ago, I talked to you, and I tell you about a black powder gun I was trying to sell, and you said, "Hang on to it. I'll be down and pick it up."
Did you sell it?
No. I was waiting on you.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Do we have your number, Charles? Grab it again.
I'm sorry.
I said, we have your phone number?
Yeah,
Okay. Let me ask you a question before we go any further on this. Did you ever take that gun? All right, Charles. We'll try to make that happen hopefully this weekend, okay?
Okay.
All right, bud.
Don't make it Sunday. I won't be here until after 3.
Okay. You got it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Charles.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Hey, by the way, I just got an email. Did you know that the $10 off deal with up to 25% off ends today? That's from Kohl's. Just got that email. Just thought you'd like to know. All right. The 2017 Great American Outdoor Show is coming up February 4th through the 12th, 2017, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the world's largest consumer outdoor show, a 9-day event celebrating hunting, fishing, and outdoor traditions for 9 days. Exhibitors and events that span 650,000 square feet, the Pennsylvania Farm Show Arena. With over 1,100 exhibitors, you'll find everything you need to enjoy the outdoors. The Great American Outdoor Show, February 4th through the 12th in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. For more details on the world's largest outdoor show, be sure to visit GreatAmericanOutdoorShow.org.
High pressure builds in across the region here over the weekend. Dry weather today and tomorrow, but then rain in the forecast Sunday night into early Monday. Clouds this morning. They'll break up and give way to sunshine as we head through the day today. Breezy at times with a gusty west and northwest wind. At times up over 20 miles per hour. Temperatures today top out right around 50 degrees, which is right about where we should be this time of year. Low 30s tonight. Increasing clouds tomorrow. Upper 40s. Chance of rain Sunday night. I'm Ken Boone from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and Paint Match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessory for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Redneck Blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck Blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blind, and the hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for your bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blind website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500. Gun owners, hunters, and shooters, Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom, easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing, 240-347-4906, above precision, beyond accurate.
Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars and drive
them old trucks.
Make them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. They'll never stay home and they're always alone, even with someone they love. Cowboys ain't easy to love, and they're harder to hold. They'd rather give you a song than diamonds or gold. Most our belt buckles and old faded Levi's, and each night they come to the dead.
And if you don't understand him, and he don't die young, you'll probably just ride away.
All right. Let's get Willie out of here and have me stop singing along because I don't want to lose any audience. Tony in Lincoln, Delaware. How you doing, Tony?
Pretty good, buddy. Don't give up your day job.
Hey, thanks. I know. Hey, I never said I was a good singer. I just love doing it.
All right. Listen, I heard you say that you could see your deer early in the morning with your binoculars and not your scope. What binoculars were they?
Well, I don't know, but I got a caller here. Hold on a minute. Thought I turned that on silent. They are the They are the Leopold binoculars, 10 power. Can't remember the name. They're a compact binocular. Buddy of mine gave me a pair of Leopold binoculars, and I dropped them out of the tree stand and fractured the knuckle. And I sent them back to Leopold, and they sent me a brand new pair of their updated version. But they're 10 by 30, I believe. And I'll tell you what, they are the sharpest binoculars you ever want to see.
Sounds good, buddy. I'm in the market for a new set, and I think I'll give them a try.
Get a good set. Get a good pair of Leopolds. Get a Nikons. Try them all. There's a bunch of different optics out there. I know Clyde sells a bunch of different ones. They may have to order a pair for you, but you know what? It's worth good optics, good glass. You know.
How about the Vortex? Have you heard anything about
them? I've heard about the Vortex. I never looked through a pair of them. I do not know. Don't know. I mean, you're just going to have to try them. But you know, I have carried Leopold for probably 10 years, and I like my other ones. But these,
not right there, you know.
What's that?
I said that says a lot right there.
Well, I used to carry Bushnells. I used to carry a pair of 8x40 Bushnells and saw a lot of deer with them, but mostly in the daytime. But for, you know, for shooting in twilight, same deal. You can see better with the binoculars than you can with the scope. And keep in mind now, my Leopold scope is old as the gun, so I bought that when I was 28, so that's 34 years.
Right.
You know, I'm sure some of the optics on the Leopold scopes and some of the other scopes are much better now.
They have improved a lot.
Yeah, so.
All right, buddy.
But, I I'm still happy with the end result. That's what matters. So.
There you go.
All right, buddy.
Get me the muzzleloader this time, will you, buddy?
We'll do our best.
All right,
thanks. Bye-bye.
Good luck the rest of the season.
Yep, thank you. You too. Bye-bye. Frank and Trapp, how are you?
How you doing, Mr. Ralph?
I'm well. You got about 15 seconds. Can you say it in that short of space?
Sure. That deer that I shot, the diseased deer?
Yes.
There's actually an article in your Hunting Quarterly about it.
Yes. I got it.
I was not aware of that at the time, but anyway.
Yep. Well, good.
Talking to you. I hope to win that muzzleloader. Never not mind the last guy.
Everybody wants to win, and everybody is a winner. Thanks, Frank.
Take care, Al.
See you, buddy. Good luck today. There goes Frank. All right. Coming up next hour, more in the muzzleloader. And I've got something to tell you about Montgomery County. Some stuff going on out there. All right. Get out. Stay out. Especially stay safe today.